We're teaching today in Ephesians chapter 6. Our main verses are 18 through 24, but we're going to start with verse 10. We're going to take just a little while to go back. It's extremely important to me that you get this portion of Scripture. In my opinion, today may be either the icing on the cake or the most important part of the armor of God. And oftentimes when people talk about the armor of God, they leave this off. And so to me, it's where it's at. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That's the schemes or the methods of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. I thought somebody was trying to get my attention. Powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts, not some of the fiery darts, but all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that, and this is Paul, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and know and how I'm doing. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your heart. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Father God, we're so thankful. What a privilege it is to preach your word. For in your word, Father, we find freedom. Father, we find great wisdom, truth. Truth is in your word. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God making alive the Word of God today in our hearts. Lord, I pray, God, that every person in this building, every person watching us online, God, that they would not just hear my words, but the Spirit of the Lord would make alive the Word of God and would change our hearts. Lord, we were created in the image of God, but sin messed us up in a big way. But Lord, you are transforming us back into the image of Christ. And I believe, Lord, that's what you really want to do today. Lord, to shine us up, to make us more like him than we've ever been before. So Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. But Lord, I pray for my words and I pray for their ears. God, that they would not hear what a preacher is saying, but they would hear what the most holy God would say today. Let them hear what the Holy Spirit would say to them today. I pray, God, that my words would be divided into their ears. God, so that my word becomes your word and addresses their hearts and the contents of their heart and the struggles that they're having this week, this very moment. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would settle upon us, God, and that you would, Lord, heal the sick, save the lost, and make the comfortable uncomfortable, God. Lord, help us to wake up, Lord, and to be alert and sober in this late age, God, that we're living. Lord, help us to get dressed for battle today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We titled this, Prepare for Battle. I want to give you this line. It's really important that you hear me. I think sometimes the way I teach, you can pick up that it maybe sounds like I'm trying to teach you a formula. And I am not, the armor of God is not a formula. Right? It's not, well, if I do this, this, and this, then this is always going to be the outcome. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not a formula. It's all about the relationship that you have with Jesus. And so we want you to develop this relationship. And that's what Paul was saying. He started off by saying, finally, in other words, that's not meant to be in conclusion. He's just saying, I have one more thing that I need to teach you, Church of Ephesus. And so he is giving this to them. And the very first verse, that verse 10, is what he wants. And then the rest of it is, how do we get there? So verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's the wish, not of Paul, but of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not longing to see you just sign your name to a church row. He wants you to be strong in him. You are his ambassador. He says, you need to get it because I'm sending you out. You are going out to this world. And so you need to be strong in the Lord. It's all about the relationship that you have with Christ. And that's what we will really determine today. He said, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And then he tells us what we do wrestle with. And it scares us just a little bit. All the demons in this world you may be wrestling with. If that doesn't take you back, you probably didn't hear me. But nowhere does he say that we are supposed to be afraid. If Satan himself shows up, he don't scare us. Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Satan may be the prince and the power of the air, but God owns this world. Amen. So we don't wrestle. It's real easy. When you start having a problem at work with somebody, or you start having a problem in your marriage, it's real easy to see that right there's my problem. Joe's my problem, or Mary's my problem. No, that's not true. There's something motivating them. There's a spirit behind things. Sometimes that spirit has a way of getting in church. It came with you. I'm not saying you're demon possessed. I'm saying demonic spirit will attach themselves to us if we're not careful. And so he is addressing those things. How do we get rid of that? You may say, well, I've just got a bad temper. It's just my heritage. I've always talked like a sailor. I don't care what you've always done. It's not who you are today if you know Jesus, right? I think Christians ought to quit making excuses. And let's come up to the holiness of God. And this is the way you do that. So as long as you make an exception in your life for sin, you're going to keep that sin. That's good preaching. Wasn't planning on saying that. Say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand, but I got to have my beer. Ooh, I'm getting good now. It's getting interesting. Yeah, really? Well, what if Christ walks in your home? See, whatever you're willing to tolerate, Satan will just, you don't understand. Satan just wants you to, if you'll just say, well, I just got to have this, he's got a hook in your mouth. And now he's going to start pulling you in. Don't make provisions for your flesh. It's what the Word of God says. Greater is he that's in you. Jesus Christ is greater than your beer habit. Or your reefer habit. Or your double cheeseburger habit. Your chocolate covered peanut habit. Okay. Let's get on. This is getting hard. He says that we are to withstand. That word withstand means vigorously oppose. See, when he used the word withstand, he was basically saying this, it's going to get tough. The battle, you don't even know yet. But listen, we don't know yet. All these people talking about Jesus coming back, hell's going to break loose before he comes back. And it's already breaking loose, in my opinion. It's already getting tough. But he says, you're going to have to vigorously oppose. Say, you cannot keep running home. You're going to have to stand. And when you've done everything you know to do, stand. Why? Because the battle's already been won. Satan's a liar. He wants to make you think he's going to take you out. He has no right to do so. He's going to tell you you're not worthy. You're not worth it. You're subpar. Thank you. Sub something. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're just not. Let me tell you, Jesus created you. And that's enough. He's not asking you to become like me. Aren't you thankful? He's asking you to become like him. And it's a process all of our life we go through. Vigorously oppose. Standing face to face against the devil. Don't give up. Don't run home. don't throw your toys down. You don't think we knew that, but we do this all the time. When life gets hard, we just say, I just can't do it. No, you can't, but he can. He can. He can equip you. You know, every once in a while, I'll hear somebody testify like this. The Lord spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know what that tells me? They're getting ready to go through hell. You're not going to get out of this one. That's what he's telling them. If the Lord tells you my grace is sufficient, he's telling you I'm not getting you out, but I'll go with you through. You can trust me. I'm going to walk with you through this thing. And that oftentimes, we don't like to hear that, but oftentimes that is the way it is. Then he begins to tell us what armor to put on. The very first thing he says, put on that belt of truth. The truth is the Word of God. No truth outside of the Word of God. God's Word does not contain truth. God's Word is truth. You hear me? Every other piece of armor hooks into the belt. So the truth is the Word of God. John 17:17, sanctify them by thy word, by thy truth. It all hooks into this belt. That truth that he's talking about is the word logos. It's the written word of God. You need to understand that because he's going to tell you another little thing about the word and use a different word. He says the second thing, he says the breastplate of righteousness, which hooks into the word. You will never become righteous until you get into the word. It's the word of God that brings the righteousness of God, right? Righteousness is a gift. Every time you talk about righteousness, people begin to think about what they do. Well, I did something really bad yesterday. I didn't talk about that, and I'm not talking about that. Righteousness is not nearly as much about what you do as who you are. See, righteousness is a gift of God. He became sin for us that we could become righteous. It was a great exchange. He took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. He gave you that right standing with God so that when God looks down upon you, he don't see you anymore. He sees the blood of Jesus. Amen. He sees Christ. Because Isaiah said, my righteousness is as filthy rags. That's why the law was not sufficient. First of all, we couldn't keep it. But second of all, it couldn't bring righteousness. But the blood of Jesus did. He says that we need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace will hold you. I don't think we underestimate peace in our life. Now the shoes of peace, I've talked about this quite a bit, but they would come up to your knee. It would be two pieces of metal, with woven about with leather, but the bottom of the shoe had spikes anywhere from 1 inch to 3 inches. And that allowed you to hold your ground. If you're going up a hill and rocky soil, or you're really fighting a fight, you could hold your ground. Does this make sense? He says to stand. Well, sometimes it's hard to stand. But the shoes of peace will give you some grip. Does that make sense? You just plant your feet in peace. The Bible says that the peace of God would rule and reign in our life. It umpires your life. If you don't know what to do, stop until you have peace. And if you don't have peace, don't make decisions. You just wait on God. Let the peace of the Lord rule and reign in your life. You ought to go to bed at night with peace with God. You ought to get up with peace with God. But thou will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed upon me. Because he trusts in me. If you start missing peace, maybe it's a good indication you need to get alone with Jesus. Get in your prayer closet and shut the door. Until you can go into the secret place with him. Say, Father, I'm not for sure why I lost my peace, but I need it back. I need you to connect with me right now and bring the peace of God back into my heart. Not only did peace stabilize the soldier, but they actually became weapons. So that if somebody fell on the battlefield and you're sitting there walking in spikes, you just stomp their head. Didn't the Bible say something about us? Here I go again. Stomping the head of Satan, right? Because where is Satan? He's under our feet. Oh, come on now. He's under our feet. And my feet's got spikes, right? I am not to run from the devil. You've heard people say, the devil's been chasing me all week long. Bless your heart. Stand. Fight. Right? Most Christians fear the devil. And the exact opposite should be true. The devil ought to fear you. Oh. She's up. Dear God. Right? Have you ever thought, why does the devil try to distract you? Tries to get you off your game. See if he can get, what does worry do? Worry gets you away from God. Worry is sin. Fear is sin. All this stuff is a distraction from who you really are. Once you understand who you are in Christ, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a son of God. Something about that backbone just starts strengthening. Right? Does not mean that everything is perfect in my world. Everything's not going to be perfect in your world till you go to heaven. We're going to battle. Aren't you thankful that Paul said, hey, life is the battle. But here's how we get through it. Paul is sitting there writing this book to the church at Ephesus hooked on to a soldier. And he's writing this metaphor. And he's saying, oh, guy's got a belt. Well, we got a belt. Guy's got a breastplate. Well, we got a breastplate. Guy's got a sword. Well, we got a sword. Guy's got a helmet. Well, we got a helmet. Are you seeing it? It's all a metaphor. He's looking at the soldier saying, God has equipped us for a battle. For a battle. Because if you haven't understood yet that life is a battle, life's a battle. If you don't understand that, it's because you're living 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. And when you sell out for Jesus, you're going to see real quick, life's a battle. The most miserable life you'll ever live in this world is one where you got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. Let's not say church. You got 1 foot with Jesus and 1 foot in the world. Oh, you're miserable. It's a miserable existence. I would tell you, just go out and enjoy sin. But if you die, you're going to go to hell. And we just don't know that date. Yeah, I'm a young man. Compared to Dave Island, I'm a young man. But I keep reading the obituaries where people I went to high school with are dying. Yeah, I'm getting to that age. And it makes you just wonder. Here's my wonder. God, I want to be right with you. Every day, every minute of the day, I want to be right with you. Now, I'm not preaching that salvation is that easy to lose, okay? Don't read too much into that. I believe in salvation. Peace in the Old Testament was the word shalom. It meant completeness and wholeness. But in the New Testament, it's irene, and it means conquering force. The peace is a conquering force. We have the shield of faith, and it attaches into the belt of truth. You'll find out that truth and faith work together because faith comes from truth. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's the substance? The substance is the Word of God. Faith is not a wish. It's not even a hope. Now, hope is in it, but faith is standing on the Word. The revealed Word. God has revealed to me what He wants to do in my life, and I'm not giving up on it. It doesn't look like it's happening right now. I remember when the Lord spoke to me, and He says, there's a church in your loins. And I thought, I didn't know I had loins. But I knew immediately what He was saying. I wasn't pastoring. I was sort of just looking around. I never sent a resume in my life, a Christian resume. I always believed that God would take me to the place that He wanted me to be. Still believe that. And the Lord spoke to that. And I told Treva, I said, we're going to birth a church. You're sitting in it today. What God has done. God has been faithful. But I'm going to tell you, there was a few rivers to cross, a few demons to slay. See, the plan of God is not easy. It's simple, but it ain't easy. It's simple because all it takes is faith. Now, faith is the substance. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. I encourage you to read the Word of God out loud because you're building yourself up listening to the Word that's coming out of your own mouth. We have the helmet of salvation. You know what a helmet is, but maybe you don't know exactly what salvation is. The word salvation means soundness. Now, maybe that doesn't mean a whole lot to you if you've never had a problem mentally. Come on, somebody. But if you've had a problem mentally, If you've had a problem emotionally, that's a better way to say it, right? If you thought you were losing your mind, all of a sudden the helmet of soundness is good. Lord, right now, I can't even make my eyes stay at a certain thing. My eyes are just all over the place. You know why I know Isaiah 26:3? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee. It's because I thought I was losing my mind one time. I was losing my mind. The devil had come in like a flood. Woo-hoo. But God raised a standard. The standard of the word of God. That said, you will not take my son out. He is mine. Hallelujah. Quoted that verse over and over and over. The helmet of salvation brings soundness. The Bible says it defeats the lies, the fiery darts. Let me tell you, Satan is after you. He is throwing things your way all the time. It's that helmet that says, not allowed here. Woo! That's pretty good. No, 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 no. He's not buying that lie. I feel like sometimes I'm the only one that gets excited in this place. Just preach to yourself, Eric. Just preach to yourself. And then he says that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But the belt of truth is the Word of God. The belt of truth is the Logos, the written Word. The sword of the Spirit is Rhema. It's when the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, takes the written Word and makes it alive. You've read that verse 1,000 times, but that time, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, it's like that little light bulb that went off. Boom, there it is. That's the meaning of it. This is what you can stand on. This is what you can take to the bank. This will deliver you. The sword of the Spirit's how we defeat the devil. The Bible says that after Jesus was baptized, this bothered me for years. The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. We don't like that. We don't like the fact that Jesus would lead you by the hand and say, today's the day when the devil is going to tempt you. How are you going to overcome? How are you going to get by this? How are you going to get past this? How can you win this one? By Rhema. It is written, devil. You hear me? That's still the way we defeat the enemy. It's the sword of the Spirit. And the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, he's coming back with a sword in his mouth. That doesn't make any sense at all. That's not where you wear your sword. But it's a double-edged sword. It's the sword that's coming out of his mouth as Jesus speaks the word. Same as you, when you speak the word, it's the devil. It's the Jesus taking that sword and slaying the giants. Part of our trouble is we just don't think that Jesus has got us. I think this one's too big for him. I don't think Jesus can deliver me from this one. You see, my whole family's always been poor, and I don't think Jesus can deliver me from poverty. I don't think Jesus can heal cancer. I don't think Jesus can do this one. He can't restore this relationship. You just keep buying the lie of the enemy. You'll find yourself in a place that you don't want to be. But eventually you gotta stand. You gotta stand. Stand against the lie of the devil. Take the Rhema word of God and say, devil, you're a liar. I know truth. My God says I will always triumph. Do you lose some battles? If you don't, I'd like to meet you. I've lost plenty of battles, but the war's already won, right? So today in verse 18, he says, and he starts this way. He stops the metaphor. All of this has been a metaphor until verse 18. And he says, praying. Praying is not a metaphor. Praying is exactly what he's talking about. He says, praying always on every occasion. That's not the King James Version. It's a different version. Praying always. Praying when you're happy. And praying when you're sad. Praying when you're grieving. And praying when you're rejoicing. Praying when the tide is rolling in and praying when the tide is rolling out. Praying when everything you think your life is built on seems to be crumbling. It's a good time to pray. We do not pray because circumstances look good. And we don't pray because circumstances look bad. We just pray because Jesus has got an ear turned towards your prayer. Set his eyes upon his people and his ears turned towards their prayer. Now that's a rhema word for me. I remember when the Lord said, you get this, son. You understand, I do hear your prayer. I tell you, Satan lied to me for years. He said, well, why are you praying? The Lord doesn't hear that. Satan, you're a liar. My Bible says that my prayers are stored up in heaven. Here's the truth. He doesn't ever forget a prayer. Thank you, both of you, for that enthusiasm. He says, Colossians, he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. In Philippians, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Some people think, well, I'm going to get spiritual. I'm going to shout a little while. I'm going to pray in tongues and I'm going to get spiritual. There is nothing that you do more spiritual than prayer. Praying is spiritual. See, prayer is the battle. You got all dressed up and now you just sit on the couch. Get off the couch. Let's engage in the war. How do I engage? Praying. You do not realize you unleash the hands of God when you pray. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I'll tell you, when I get to heaven, I just want to say, God, did I leave anything on the table? Did I not walk in something you wanted me to have because I didn't ask? I believe in asking. You know, the devil lies enough to people that he will tell them things like, you ought not ask for yourself. You see, that's selfish when you pray for yourself. Are you right? Yes, pray for yourself. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus was walking, he says that God would be glorified when we pray for each other. Do you know, the Lord is saying, I want to, I want to, I want to. You're just not asking. He goes on, he says, praying in the Spirit. And most of my life, I've heard that's praying in tongues. No, it's not. Now, do I believe in praying in tongues? Absolutely. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. In the book of Jude, verse 20, he says, building yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Is there a time to pray in the Spirit of God? Absolutely. Praying in the Spirit is your prayer closet. You ought to be praying in the Spirit every day. And for those of you that don't even believe in it, Satan's been lying to you. Get your eyes open. You hear me? I'm not trying to criticize you in any way. I know many denominations used to teach that. Well, that's not of God. And many, many denominations are backing up on that doctrine because they realize they're wrong. Can I say something? I'm going to anyway. Acts chapter 1. is the Spirit-filled church. The church in Ephesus, the Spirit-filled church of Ephesus. Philippians, the Spirit-filled church in Philippi. Are you following me? There wasn't anything other than that. Every church was filled with the Spirit. But this is not what it's talking about here. I like to just be clear. Say, Pastor, you mean to tell me you can pray in the Spirit without praying in tongues? Absolutely. Say, well, if I can pray in the Spirit without tongues, does that mean I can pray without the Spirit? Yes, sir, you can. You can pray faithless prayers, presumptuous prayers, sinful prayers when you doubt God. Say, what is a faith-filled prayer? It's someone that takes the Word of God. It's where faith is the substance, right? And you've asked the Lord, lead this prayer. Lead me into a time of prayer, God. That's a Spirit-filled prayer. Does that make sense? It's a Spirit-led prayer. The Spirit of the Lord wants to lead you in prayer. Don't leave Him out. We need to allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead us. It says, any prayer that is directed, energized, and sustained by the Holy Spirit is a prayer that is prayed in the Spirit. Now, is there prayers of tongues? There are. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He said, I sing in the Spirit and I pray in the Spirit. I pray in my known language and I sing in my known language. The Bible says in Acts chapter 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of the Lord knows what you have need of before you know it. So is it good to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues? Yes, absolutely. But is it good just to pray in the Spirit in your native language? Absolutely. Ask the Lord to teach you. He says, with all kinds of prayer. The word prayer there is proshush, the Greek word. It's used 127 times in the New Testament. It means up close and personal. It means intimate. Prayer is intimate, intimacy with God. You know what intimacy is? Into me see. Holy Spirit, look into my heart. See in me. Is there any wicked way? Is there anything that needs to get out? I'm losing you. I'm sorry. Stay with me for just a few more minutes. The Bible says that Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. He says, with all kinds of prayer and requests. There's the prayer of agreement, which you need to find a prayer partner. You ought to have somebody in your life that you can call when hell's breaking loose and saying, will you pray with me? Will you agree in prayer with me? Let me just give you another little tidbit. When all hell is breaking loose, don't tell everybody. Only tell the people that you know pray. Because some people will start talking you into the grave. And I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about Christians. Because their faith level is so small. You ought to have somebody that knows how to reach heaven. There are people on this earth. There's people in this church. They know how to reach heaven. And don't rule out the 85-year-old gray-haired woman. Some of those people they know their God. They know how to pray. Okay, I got to go quick. There's intercession. That's praying for other people. There's supplication. That means you're praying for the needs of other people. There's petitions. That's my needs. If you're just praying for God to give you enough to pay your rent and pay your electric bill, you have a lack of faith. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. You don't think God wants you to help somebody? You need to pray that God would prosper you so you can prosper the kingdom. God, if I've got a neighbor that needs help, bless me and I will bless them. Guys get so quiet on me. It's consecration. It's devotion. It's like Hannah when she went before the Lord and prayed for a son. There's thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Every prayer, I think, needs to start with thanksgiving. And then there's prayers of authority. That word is aito, A-I-T-E-O. Aito. That's the Greek. You're not going to like this, some of you. It means to make a demand. Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying when you understand who you are. I hadn't just come out of the cabbage patch. I'm a son of God. And I know the promises of God. And I'm going to say, God, your word declares this. And I ain't backing up on it. I'm staking a claim to this promise right here. You get that? I'm not arrogant. I'm not being disrespectful to God. I'm just using what he gave me. All authority has been given unto the Son of God, and he gave us that authority. In other words, here's what one version says. Jesus gave you a sign check. I dare you to give me a sign check. I'm building a house. And if anybody wants to give me a sign check right now, I'll use your sign check. Chief, we're going to get those good faucets, baby. I'm searching Facebook Marketplace every day. Oh, dear God. You see, do you understand what I'm saying? I made light of it. This is a sign check. Get to know it. And then make a demand in the Spirit of God. The Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. You're not demanding that he does do something that he doesn't want to do. Many people will say this, well, God is sovereign. He's going to do what he wants to do. He told us what he wanted to do right here. I want to forgive you of your sins and heal you of your diseases. Paul asked that people pray three things for him. Inspired utterance. This is, if you want to pray for a pastor, if you want to pray for an evangelist, this is what you should pray. Pray for inspired utterances. Pray that when they get in front of people, they don't just say what they think, but they speak as God gives them the utterance. Inspired utterance. Pray that they have boldness. You think it's easy to stand in front of people that you know are doing wrong and you tell them they're wrong? That ain't easy, folks. You need some boldness. Because when you leave, they get on Facebook. And give us clarity. The ABCs of preaching is this: accuracy, brevity, and clarity. I know I don't have the second one. But I'm working on it. Next week I start two sermons. And I'm going to have to get this thing down a little better. Spiritual warfare is taking authority over your mind and flesh. And the works of darkness. He called you to win. He called you to win. He called you to defeat the works of the devil. You cannot go in battle naked. If you do, you're going to get... You remember the sons of Sceva? He said, in the name of Peter, in the name of God who Peter preaches, or Paul preaches, he said, come out of them. And they said, we know Paul, and we know Jesus, but who are you? You are nobody, and you are no match for the enemy. They stripped them naked and beat the fire out of them and sent them running home. Sounds just like the church today. That's good preaching. You may not like it, but it's good preaching. But when you know your God, when you know who you are in Him, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, they that know their God will do exploits. Do you know God is looking for someone that will take the Word of God seriously? The children are going to end today with the blessing, with a little program. And so we keep your seat for just a few more minutes. They've worked on this a long time and very hard, and you always enjoy watching the kids. And so it's going to be just a little different, but I need to pray for you before we dismiss. Jesus, I pray right now that the words I spoke would not be stolen as soon as they walk out of this church. I pray, Father, Lord, that the seeds that I have sown, your seed has planted in their hearts, and it will bear fruit in their life. And someone that does not know you, that you're ministering to today, someone is sitting here right now saying, I'm just not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. That's too big of a risk. You can't risk that. You need to make sure that you know that you know that you know that no matter what your outcome is, you know where you're headed. So today I pray right now, if you don't know that Jesus is your Savior, ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, submit all your ways to Him, and tell Him you will follow Him. And He will come into your heart and dwell with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Sherry.